I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to AI Audible, the new narrated article podcast from the Anfield Index podcast channel.
Lovren and Sacco, A Tale of Two Defenders by Karl Kaupak. Well, that wasn't fun. And there's a term used in footballing circles known as doing a Spurs. This involves playing magnificent football, getting closer and closer to shiny things, only to bottle it and fall on their faces when it comes down to it. Take last season. They should be runners-up to Leicester City, but they lost their way and ended up being pipped by their greatest rivals. Ah, that reminds me. Arsenal. There's also a thing called doing an Arsenal. This points to their propensity to go out of every competition in the same week, usually in late March, when they've been great for months and months. Usually due to their ill luck in facing Barcelona or Bayern Munich in the Champions League. They're the classic hangover side. If they lose one, they'll lose the next one too. Heads go. This week saw Dua Liverpool enter common parlance. Top four sides, yep, bring them on by the score and we'll batter them. Two hard away games, no problem. 6 points out of six. A Palace side run by a man who has never won at Anfield? Help yourself, lads. This is not a modern phenomenon. In 2009, we beat Real Madrid 4-0, went to the home of the future champions and bested them 4-1, and still managed to lose to Middlesbrough in those handful of days. We've done it again. Top of the league in October, playing the best football too, and the world to claim. Come Sunday, we're down to the bones and our lads are exhausted. Furthermore, the bench looked like the chorus in a school play. I'm all for giving youth a chance, but we should at least have someone who can come on and win the game rather than sticking kids on to perform miracles. Coutinho's goal was glorious. Assist, Hennessy, W. But there was an odd feeling at halftime that this wasn't anything like done. Ordinarily, you'd add to a glory goal with an average one and go from there, marking your superiority. But the way we played basically told Palace where we could be found wanting. Add a striker with a point to prove, and the rest was inevitable. The goals were awful, though. As much as you can point the finger at Dejan Lovren, you can point at others, too. Don't get me wrong, Lovren stank the ground out, but his wasn't the only unwelcoming musk emanating from the turf. The keeper aside, the entire team were flat, confused and confusing. You can include fan favourites like Matip in that too, woeful all over the pitch, as flat as Mondrian painting. While we're talking about Lovren, he was first up against the wall after the game. Sunday night Twitter was a who hates him more contest. We all have our darlings in this regard, and I'm no different. But some of the comments were just ridiculous. This was the first time the Matip and Lovren partnership had lost a game, and it was also the first time they were both simultaneously shite, yet only one man gets slated. True, it's because he made his enemies long before Joel arrived, but I wonder where the I told you so comments were during our recent unbeaten run. Don't get me wrong, I come not to exhume Lovren, he was terrible. But a bit of consistency would be welcome. There was also a curious pantomime sideshow about the man who once played alongside him. When Benteke scored his first, and didn't celebrate, or at least not rub anyone's noses in it, he trotted over to the bench and celebrated with one Mamadou Sakho, formerly of this parish, in some stupid hand thing which I didn't understand. A friend of mine quite rightly stated that he should be able to celebrate a goal his team has scored, and that's fair enough. But there are ways of doing it. A quiet applause, maybe. A pat on the back, whatever. What the hell is he doing on the bench anyway if he's ineligible to play? There's a strong bring back Sakho campaign as A, he's better than Lovren, debatable. And B, everyone deserves a second chance. While he was on the pitch and doing well, we all loved him. When he milked the applause at the Dortmund game, I can't remember who scored the winner, must look that up, he talked of the Liverpool country and there was a sense that he was our man. He gets us. That sort of thing. I've just looked at the footage of his farewell speech when he left PSG. The opening line of the accompanying article was telling. He may be a Liverpool player, but Mamadou Sakho showed on Sunday night that his heart remains at PSG. His heart remains at PSG, and Liverpool, and Palace, and wherever he ends up next. It's fine if you think he's better than Lovren, but when people talk about second chances, I have to pick up cudgels and swing them around my head at all comers. There's the drugs thing, but also nearly missing his flight, pissing about at a press conference, and then, worst of all, missing the planned physiotherapy and recovery sessions. What the hell is he doing? Still, he gets us, yeah? For a while. Nah, not for me. I want players who can take Liverpool seriously, not someone who talks a good game and thinks that ambition begins and ends with fan adoration. No, Sunday was not fun, but all is not lost. The others have to go to hard grounds, albeit with proper benches. So if we just squeak past the remaining games, we should fall over the line to the big boys' European tournament. Yes, we've done an Arsenal and done a Spurs, but I wish we had their problems at times. They at least have full workable squads. The least we can do is defy our own shortcomings and put everything we have on the pitch and in the lungs of the people in the grounds. The Anfield atmosphere is a problem, so let's do something about that and shout, scream, wail and cajole the lads home, even the ones you hate. Liverpool first, always. You can rely on Carl to focus on some of the issues that have always grasped people's attention, and the handshake farrago was certainly one of those. I wrote about it myself today in my first piece in a week. Carl's pretty much nailed it, to be fair. You find yourself having to, I suppose, sign up for a camp if you want to be talking about anything to do with Liverpool. You've got to be on a team, it seems, in this sort of hideously modern social media-esque way. And I don't really have any team except Liverpool, and I can see from Carl's final paragraph that that's exactly how he feels. He seems to be irritated by the fact that Sakho was on the bench. So was I. I don't understand what he's doing there in his Palace rig out. He's a Liverpool player contracted to us. He can't play against us. Why is he on the bench? Why is he not just in the stand in the distance in a suit? I genuinely don't understand what his appearance on the bench was all about, and I think it's sort of a little bit naive to suggest that, you know, he's completely innocent in all of this. I know you, like I said, you got to sign up for one side or the other. I like Sakho, always have liked him as a footballer, and think he's an interesting and charismatic kind of guy that if he's playing well, fans love. I was no different, and I haven't suddenly turned against Sakho, but to say that, like, you know, it was completely innocent, sort of bit of a muted hijinks on the sidelines, that's just daft talk, really, isn't it? You know, I mean, he knew what he was doing, he knew he was there, and when you hear Allardyce talking about it today, and Sam Allardyce talking about how it's terrible, you can't take your shirt off and you can't just celebrate with your little handshake thing, and how he goes out of his way to say that Sammy Lee didn't see it, despite the fact that Sammy Lee's face as he looks at the two lads engaging in their little hand check, apparently that's what it's called, is quite a picture to watch. Sammy, he's just like, what is this about? The Lovren thing was very interesting too, because again, it was notable to me because it was the first thing I've seen in over a week of football was the reaction to Lovren. I was day late coming back to it, and the raw animated hatred was quite special to see. And again, you know, you had a tiny handful of people trying to defend him and trying to put a bit of balance into it. But again, Carl's spot on. Matip was terrible. Jimmy Milner was pretty awful. Nathaniel Klein was pretty awful. The unit was pretty awful. Mignolet, I thought, if you analyse it, could certainly have done better as well. So look, it comes back to the delusion that's at the heart of saying we have a good defence. And that was said by none other than our own Jurgen Klopp. So there are issues there and we need to fix them. And I really, really hope that this summer will do that. There seems to be a little bit of head buried in the sand type of stuff going on at the moment, and the sooner that gets sorted out, the better. We have 4 games left, and Carl seems to believe that winning all 4 of them will be enough. I've heard that said by many people. I don't necessarily agree with it myself. I think I'd be a bit more pessimistic that even winning all 4 of them, which frankly, when you look at the opposition, is that likely? I don't know. Let's be upbeat and let's hope that it is. And maybe we will, as Carl says, fall over the line.
Thank you for listening to AI Audible. You can read this episode's article along with many others on AnfieldIndex.com. You can download our AI channel app on iOS and Android. And you can find all our AI Audible episodes on Twitter at AI Audible and on AnfieldIndex.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.